am I treated so bad? Tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why? Am I treated so bad? Well, you know I'm all alone as I sing this song. Hear my call. I've done nobody wrong, but I'm treated so bad. Well, yeah, yes, I'm gonna walk out in the master's name. Things I do, everything I do, that seem to be in vain. You may be blind, you may be lame. Walk on out in the master's name, though you're treated so bad. Well, yeah, yes.
Mavis Staples and the Staples Singers with one of their signature songs, Why Am I Treated So Bad? It's from their 1965 album, Freedom Highway. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we continue many, many developments in Washington with this impeachment racket. Things are changing. All kinds of new rumors are going around now that people are floating the idea that maybe there's another way to go other than impeachment. And the other way to go would be to sit down and reason it all out. Does a president really have to be impeached? Or could the Democrats and the Republicans come together in a spirit of brotherhood and fraternity and love of country and come up with something else? That something else would be to perhaps go toward not prosecution in the sense of the impeachment process, but to perhaps talk about a way that they can figure a way out. If they all just come together as sensible people and for the good of the country, so it's not torn to shreds in the process of this impeachment. And maybe the word censure has popped up. Instead, why not censure the president? Avoid this whole thing about impeachment, which will tear apart the country and will create incredible divisions and confusion and tumult. And instead, be more mature about it. Let's sit down and reason this thing out. And we can consider censure, can't we? We could come up with some idea that we will give him 20 lashes with wet spaghetti and tell him, don't do this again. We're letting you off the hook this time. But we may not be disposed to doing this again. Let's try that as an alternative. These are the rumors floating around now that there are people on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, and this idea has been raised as a last-ditch effort to avoid impeachment. With censure, of course, things change a little bit in the way of charges against the president. He would not have to admit to any wrongdoing. He will just take the punishment. He'll just take the punishment and behave himself and continue. It would be known that the president has been censured because there will have to be a vote. And, you know, hopefully he could return to his office as president of the United States and get on with the business of governing this country, leading this country. So that's the latest rumor going around Washington now. Let's consider a more mature way to figure this thing out. And of course, these ideas are coming as the House is about to decide today, it's about to announce today what the results of its actions are with regard to impeachment. So I don't know how they're going to square this. I don't think the censure idea is going to go anywhere. And even if it does, would it help? Things are way too far down the line now to consider a last-ditch effort, which, of course, you always have to remember that last-ditch efforts are most often completely insincere. They simply are aimed at survival more than anything else. Tell them whatever they want to know or want to hear. I just need to get out of this bind that I'm in for the moment. And there you have it. It's a compromise. But it's not going to work. We shouldn't even raise it. But it's a legitimate story that this is being floated at this late date. And with the hope that they could actually persuade people that Donald Trump could be sincere about contrition and promising to do better as the leader, as he calls himself, the leader of the free world. That is a really interesting stretch. But at the same time, it indicates something that I've been talking about, that is the underlining story here. And we're seeing over and over and over again how bifurcated this country really is, especially when it comes to the so-called law. And we see the blatant evidence of white supremacy. As rotten as this president has been, there are still people who see value in him. And there's still a case that they would like to make for redemption of him. He's a white man. And everything we have seen so far, I hope you're paying attention because I'm pointing it out to you. The composition of the Democrats, these liberal Democrats who do not have a single person of color among them as they are debating a major historic issue for this country. Yet the whole thing started with an accusation by Congressman Al Green of Texas, an African American. They've kept this whole thing white, and we are accustomed. I know for some people listening to this, they'd say, oh my gosh, you know, enough already with the race thing. No, but this is the life we live. This is what we know. We have been saying this for a long time, we people of color. even at the highest levels where you think, especially with an election coming up, you would think they would take care to observe these things because they send messages. But when you practice the policy of exclusion, and this is, now we're talking members of Congress, do you dare question when people, ordinary people in the ordinary facets of life, make the same charge? Do you dare question that they have a wrong reading of things? It is completely white. That sends a very deep message, at least to me. You know, when you see a deliberate effort to erase you, you are erased. You may walk around with illusions that you are part, especially an equal part. You are on equal levels with everybody in this country. And they're showing you. You must be on some new kind of drug, mind-altering drug, to think that. And life is going on. They haven't stopped. They're not correcting that glaring affront. They're going on with the business they control. This is an absolutely white thing that is happening. We discuss it almost with a kind of schizophrenic attitude, with the illusion that this is America, we're all in this together. No, we're not. We're not all in this together. And that is for liberals, that is for even radicals, that is for progressives. This is natural. This is a natural part of our lives now, a permanent part of our lives. We dare not assume that we have even achieved the smallest progress, even though we're told that that is so. When you look at what is happening here, the status remains decidedly quo. No change. We will tell you what we are going to do. We are in charge. You have no business here. This is not for you to worry about. We'll tell you how it will all work out. And that is from a supposedly enlightened, modern-day Democratic Party and Republican Party. And we are expected to, you know, just live with it. You're not here. We don't see you. We don't hear you. We don't want to know you. We're taking care of business right now. You could make yourself, you know, invisible for the time being because we really don't need you right now. We're taking care of serious business. You're not involved. We will tell you the outcome if we feel like it. Meanwhile, they're talking all this language about this involves the nation and, you know, we are in a national crisis moment and so forth. There's no evidence that any of those people recognize or understand that? They don't intend to recognize it. It's a white world. In the Middle East, it's a white world. In the Caribbean, it's a white world. In China, it's a white world. In Europe, it's a very white world. And from wherever, and wherever the population is, if we're talking about, they see themselves ruling the world. It's a white world. You know, I read a very interesting, a short article about a restaurant that had opened in New York City not even a year ago. It's about a white woman who opened a Chinese restaurant. Not any Chinese restaurant. She said it was a clean Chinese restaurant. Clean cuisine. And what she later said when her doors were about to close, as a form of apology, is that she didn't mean to suggest that Chinese food was dirty. She just meant that it was a more healthy way to eat. That's what the aim of the restaurant was, to have a more healthy menu. Well, she has a lot of time to study that mistake now because she's out of business. But this is what I mean. First, you appropriate a culture, and food is part of the culture. You are more Chinese than the Chinese. You have greater authority about Chinese food than the Chinese do. And then you start casting aspersions and saying that that's not what you meant. Well, that's what you said anyway about this clean food that you're offering. So you see how people operate even unconsciously and, of course, consciously. We haven't crossed that line of true commitment to this notion that all people are created equal. That does not obtain here, no matter what they say. It does not obtain. So I will stop here for a minute, and then we take some calls, and then we go on to the other subject that I have in mind to do. At 888-874-4888. I want to comment on the feedback I got listening. Someone called in and said, you know, well, why don't you have guests? That's a very important question that I'd like to address. Of course I have guests, and I will continue to have guests. But as I explained, I'm very conscious of the purpose of the program and my purpose as the host of the program. And that is to get ordinary people, regular people, to feel comfortable with the idea of sharing intellectual space. when people say things like, well, you don't have guests very often like you used to. Well, okay, that was a different formula. Now we require a different approach because so much is happening that we need to understand for ourselves. And this is also in part a kind of criticism, even of the audience, from me. Audiences have become lazy. Audiences have become, you know, when I say lazy, I don't mean it in the pejorative sense, but I mean it has been made so convenient for people to just turn a knob, flick a switch, whatever, and information comes to you, packaged, ready for consumption. And you're happy with that. You don't know whether it's true or not true. You don't know what you believe based on what you're hearing or seeing. You're presented with information. I believe that if we are serious about building community and using ourselves as part of the effort of that building of community, we have to do our part. We can't just accept prefab information, no matter where it comes from. Exercise a little bit. Exercise your brain. Go out. You heard a term, but you don't know what it means. You didn't have time to have it explained. Then go find out. That's what it's for. This idea that you sit and information is to be poured into your head and then you assimilate that into your system as information. No, it's not. It is also about you, or I should say, it's also about us amplifying, adding more, you know, just getting new ways of thinking and being comfortable with that. I asked him, I said, could you name me any program that you regularly listen to that insists that people should have some way of expressing themselves routinely? This is not a special thing that I do. This is what I do all the time. Could you name a program? And he couldn't. And he didn't. And that's what I mean. Even that little twist of a host of a program saying, we are incorporating, this is this program. Not every program has to do this because people have different formats. Mine is all about building community, getting people to regard as natural the ability to participate and share information and the ideas. You don't have to be, quote, right. You just have to try your best to achieve clarity about a situation or an issue. That is great work. And I've always had a different approach about everything I do. People at first are kind of uneasy with it because the average caller is not generally expecting to be asked a question pertinent to what he or she just said. We have been so dumbed down. How could we possibly be agents of change if we are afraid to venture out and challenge even ourselves about something? That's why I don't get upset when people say things that are in fact upsetting. That's where you are. Okay, now let's talk about it. How many media outlets do you know where that very thing plays such a vital part in programming? What are people thinking? Why do you think what you think? Explain what you mean when you say so and so and so. How do you see this turning out? That's analysis. When was the last time in any environment you were asked for your analysis? You're not asked because the assumption is you are incapable of it. So you have to be told what your analysis is and adopt it as yours, but it's not organic to you. Now, this is very important for you to understand, and why, in an indirect way, I'm saying, consider supporting the station, because it's doing very good work. It's turning this whole idea of broadcasting and media on its head. It is not screaming, it is gently prodding you to move beyond where you are, to get your brain engaged, to be fearless about it. You don't have to be embarrassed about not knowing something. No. You asked a question. Just like any reporter, ask the question. I used to run a journalism training program. And everybody said it was impossible. My underlying theory was that if you fully commit to this idea that you want to do reporting, you want to be a journalist and so forth, we could accomplish this in 26 weeks. I am going to be hard, but I am going to walk with you every step of the way. In 26 weeks, you will move from being a total neophyte, novice, to being competent, to having the skill, because it can be learned. It's not any great secret science. I had a 93% placement rate of people coming into this program with no experience whatsoever, graduating and getting a job at the end of 26 weeks. I'm not kidding. And the whole secret of it, I was telling somebody, the whole secret of it is your brain, your ability to think. And when you think really well, you write well. Your mind automatically adjusts to what is important, what is not. What question should I ask now? What should I write? What should the order be? Your mind is an amazing thing. The secret to good writing is what? Good thinking. If you can't think, why are you wasting your time trying to write? Wasting your time, wasting my time. If you're not thinking, you cannot be helped. I know it sounds extreme. You cannot be helped to achieve what it is you want to achieve. You have to think right. You have to have a logical mind. So that's why I say, everybody listening to this program is an agent or potential agent of change. You can achieve it by talking to other people, writing. You can achieve it in any number of ways. But it's your brain. That is the control center. If you're not thinking, you're dead in the water. So I encourage you to participate. Don't get hung up about, you know, how you think you sound to other people and, you know, are you right? Who cares? I'm interested in that you are brave enough to have an idea, that you put it together in a logical sequence, that we could understand what it is you're trying to convey or are conveying. And we start having potent discussions and exchanges. That's a revolution. If you listen to the program regularly, you know the voices of some people who stand out from others because it's not that they're brilliant. It is that they have put some energy into the business of thinking. That is a great service to everybody. All the people, for the most part, just by living, you have a lot to share. But you don't think so, because thinking is not valued very much in this country. The idea is only certain people are thinkers. You don't look or sound like any of them, so you couldn't possibly be a thinker. Don't worry about that. You just stay steady, putting your thoughts together, reading a lot, researching. It might be one or two points. You heard a phrase, you heard a term. Don't let it go by without you investigating what that means. Okay, so let me stop this rant of mine and we'll take a break and come back. I just wanted to convey to you that this medium that you're sitting in the middle of, that you're hearing all of this information going back and forth, it should be where you start to discipline your mind. Because when you are on the air, you are a teacher. And you have the responsibility to organize your thoughts, whatever your thoughts may be. Because people all over the place are looking for clarity about things. You may just be the person to provide that. We'll be right back at 888-874-4888 with your comments and observations for the day.
Sometimes you get so tired, and sometimes you get so weary, you know. You'd be picked on, called names. stoned and spit at. But that didn't bother us. We just kept on walking. And you know, I used to hear my grandma. She walked around the house.
You're listening to Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we started out by talking about this idea that is rumored to be surfacing in Washington, D.C., to urge the Democrats to consider an alternative to impeachment, and that being compromise. In which case, President Trump will not be impeached, but will be censured. He would still be president of the United States, and he would still retain his powers, but it would be noted that he has been censured. That would avoid a very contentious vote. And of course, the aftermath and what comes next in the Senate, which would be a trial. Chris from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Patrice.
It's you, thing that you, I would Trump. Like,
hello?
Yes, Chris, I was saying it's you, Eutrice.
Eutrice?
Yeah.
Eutrice? Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, for me, I think the biggest issue is with African Americans and how we live amongst ourselves. In that we're not, as you were speaking earlier, we're not learning, we're not thinking, we're not educating ourselves. I feel we're always dependent on outside sources. Despite the fact that we understand where we live and the conditions that we're under, I still think that we need to be more stronger in how we interact with ourselves and educate ourselves and understand where we come from. I've seen the documentary on Hannibal. I think we need to understand more of ourselves. I feel that too many where external stuff, the gold, the superficiality. And I think that's our defeat. We can never really say we can depend on the Democrats nor the Republicans. We see all these other issues that are out there, and yet we're still fighting amongst ourselves, still shooting each other, this illogical behavior. I think that's our defeat. And I feel like if we can concentrate more on internally changing ourselves, we can have a better society, perhaps. Maybe for listening.
Well, I want to caution you about something, and that is self-blame. And what a great tool it is for self.
No, not self-blame.
Yes, I'm
that's how I'm and to counter it. and to work on the to defend oneself. It's not self-blaming. It's no, to see
no,
what
no,
the situation
just,
is and understand what that is,
I get it.
And then build up to
said.
Work against it.
I got what you said, but I'm saying, I think there is an overabundance. This is not to say these things aren't real in our collective experience, but they're real in the collective experience of any people.
That's right.
Who have been oppressed.
That's true. I'm not disagreeing.
But when we reach the point where we can't see,
that's it.
Or we are reluctant even to consider the fact that our very existence.
That's what I mean. We're not seeing that. We're not understanding that. Wait a minute. We understand that we see the oppression. We see that. We see the injustice.
Yes.
But we don't see, like, let's create meditation centers because we understand that this is going on. So let's invest in stuff like that. Let's invest in more social psychology amongst ourselves to understand that. Let's have books in our library where we can read.
My point is we don't have
to
arrive at a point of critical mass around that. Everybody can start where they are right away.
The self-discipline.
But it's, you know, when we use words like that, a self-discipline and self-worth, and we are also acknowledging, like this woman I talked about, who proposed to operate, a European woman, who proposed to operate a clean Chinese restaurant, and doesn't understand why she's out of business. She just doesn't understand it. We can't wait for people like that to catch up.
I'm sorry? Say that again.
I said, we can't wait for people like that to catch up. We just have to keep moving.
I understand. But still, we have to try to push in different ways. And I wish it was better ways that we can push that, because if we don't work with our internal community, we lose a lot of people.
Well, everybody knows that. You see, we already know. We already know all the downsides. We already know that. We're well versed in the downsides.
So why not work on trying to figure out a different way? If you know your opponent every move that he gets you with, wouldn't you then start to say, well, let me try to re-educate myself?
Well, sometimes
look at the TV shows that we watch, the things that we value.
Sometimes it is that people simply don't know. They have to be helped to know. The expectation is that, that you're expecting, or we are expecting, a person with a serious disease to cure him or herself.
Yes, yeah.
We can't say
within ourselves that look at the history of what has happened. Ergo, we need to understand that those who did apply discipline went a different path. Maybe we should look at Frederick Douglass, Du Bois. I mean, he's not to say, like, look at these people. And we should, these books, I'm surprised, and talk to other people, should be in everyone's homes. But I maybe I'm just overseeing things. Maybe I don't know. What do I would just like to see a change within.
We all would, but the question is, what
are you doing? Because if other people are running out shooting themselves and punching innocent old people, that simply cannot be all. And when you say out there, you see you daily on subways and stuff like that, the madness that's out there and the homelessness that is out there, I don't think it's all. I think it's not enough.
Okay, let me ask you a straight question. Where are you, or what are you hopeful about based on what you have observed? What gives you hope?
Hopeful about? That I carry myself in a good manner. That I'm a kind person, that I care about people. That I like nature.
Yeah, but that these things are not helping your community.
These things are not helping the community.
What are you hopeful about that you are playing, or you're conscious that you're playing a role in?
No, you asked what I'm hopeful for. I'm hopeful and I guess grateful, maybe not hopeful, I don't know. But you asked, that's all the things. For me, within myself.
Okay, well.
Anyway, continue.
Let's talk again. And thank you for calling in today. Jay,
you're
from
welcome.
New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. Jay?
Hello, Latrice. How are you?
Okay, Jay. How are you?
Good. Listen, we need to move forward with impeachment. Send this thing to the Senate. Let the Senate reject it like we all know that they are, and then start putting forward the narrative of what this president has and has not done, and the direction that he's taken this country in that is not in its best interest, using the things that he was impeached with, and just basically bombard the electoral college states that they deem that they may
electoral
lose.
Electoral college.
The electoral college states, like the five that they lost that turned the election, and just point out all of the things that this president hasn't done with a precise and concise narrative, and that's the only way you're going to beat them. That's the only way. You have to go to each one of these five states and put together a massive ground game, a massive propaganda game, a massive information game. Whatever you have to do, you have to get to the people in those five states and also register and bring out the votes if you have any chance at all of changing the dynamics of what's going on. And lastly, I like to say this to you. You know, Utrice, I've been with you ever since the City Sun. I've been with you and supported you at WBAI. But yesterday, I had to question if maybe the pressures of media has finally gotten to you with you talking that madness about Hillary Clinton. I was very concerned about you, my sister. I was shocked. You had me dumbfounded. You had me hoodwinked. You had me bamboozled. You had me, as they would say, messed up, talking that madness about they gonna allow that woman to be the nominee again for the President of the United States. You tweet, I know you don't do drugs, but do you think somebody spiked your teeth? Do you think somebody spiked your tea when you went to the store and got you a tea or something? Because you just
I'm talking about what's in play. Is that what I agree to? It's not what I favor. This is what's in play. These are some of the things that we have to pay attention to, because she's on the move and there are forces behind her to bring her up to be the president that she should have been years ago. But, you know, people are out for their own interests. And so should we. We should be very careful. We should have intelligence about people like that. Watch out for them. Watch out for the people who support them and who protect them. Because it's not about anybody else's interests except hers. We can't let this go without noticing it. We have to talk about it. I am certainly not in her camp. Never have been. All the stories we've done about Hillary Clinton and that foundation and her role in Haiti and in other places, the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, her role as a Secretary of State, she has a lot to account for. There's no way I could forget that. But no, I am not, I have not had any kind of drug put in my coffee. Thank you, Jay, for calling. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
First of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
First of all, I want to say that most radio programs are deficient when it comes to getting the voices of the listener. I think about pulling away from BAI some months ago when a new male co-host of an early morning program, I heard him argue with his sister for 1.5 minutes when she just needed 45 seconds to, and then he did the same thing to me, and then I just lost interest. So, you know, and if you are interested, because I would actually love to hear John Boniface from impeachmentproject.org, and he was on Ralph Nader's show. And I know it can be very time-consuming. And the next time I call, and we can do this through email too, but I don't have to pay for most long distance. So I'm going to leave my number, because, you know, when you do want to bring in somebody or want to follow up with, say, my suggestions, I'll be there to help. Now, what was the name of the first?
The funny thing is, I have available to me quite a few people who would love to come on. I'm just saying, at this moment in time, if I had to put a priority on whether I have a well-known person on, an expert of some type, or if I choose instead, let the people talk and express themselves, guess which way I'm going to go?
Well, that's good, but, you know, we can also, now, John Boniface, his other project is Free Speech for the People. It is not a known, readily known or famous person, but you can also loop us in to ask questions. So it's just a way to vary the conversations, and I'll send you an email at some point.
You have a guest. That still follows the formula to me. You have a guest, and then people ask the guest based on a question based on that to me is boring. I want to know, unsolicited, what you're thinking about. We will move through several layers of this until we get back to our initial format of having a guest and talking about something special. But I was bothered by the fact that many people in the audience are part of a large group that has been conditioned by media to simply perform that role of asking questions based on a guest's appearance. I want to know, unsolicited, I want to know what you are thinking about an issue, regardless of what a guest might have, you know, come on the show to talk about. I know how to do this. I've been in this business for more than 40 years. I know how to put together a program. I'm
Nobody's saying that you do not. Because we've heard a number of guests on your program.
We're stuck.
But we're just saying that we like it both ways. That's all. What was the name of the first caller, Utrice?
I'm sorry?
What was the name of the brother who was the first caller?
Chris.
Well, I want to take a minute to agree with a lot that he said. And I think it's an important point. Where was he calling from?
New York.
Okay. It's an important point because I just see, especially in these times, you know, of anxiety, where is the country going? What is the end game? How are they going to get there? I mean, it doesn't seem like it can end well. And so I think what he was, there's just profound disconnection, the way we connect with each other or don't connect with each other. Our community, to me, from what I'm seeing in some points, is very much in shambles. And it also has to do with social media. I know people who, you know, had no problem, you know, you could have extensive phone calls with them, good friends, and once they get on Facebook, it becomes something else. But my last point has to do with watching this what they call the markup hearing, and watching these Republicans and the Democrats going back and forth. I mean, it almost makes you want to pull your hair out, because we're in a situation where I can't even recall a time. Things have been bad in this country, but I can't recall a time where you have a whole party, one of the two corporate parties that in particular is like living an alternate reality. You know, there's no sense of truth or a consensus around basic facts. And the other thing I'm concerned about is, I mean, why not? What is the downside with this particular President Donald J. Trump, right, why not put a more expansive historical record? Because they saw that the Republicans weren't having it. In fact, that's why they pulled back from putting bribery in the first charge, even though the original intention was a broad sense of bribery where you didn't have any type of a criminal code, which the Republicans are trying to cite the McDonald Supreme Court case, which is irrelevant.
We asked these very questions. Why just two counts? And
exactly.
But then again, there is another side of this issue that we have to deal with. How do you feel as an American citizen? You seeing the intention right in front of you about which you are expected to do nothing because everybody is clear you have no power to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was removed by Chris, because that's when you really need community, which is very much in shambles, you know, and social media playing, from the way I look at it, a large role.
But why are being encouraged to believe we are part of this? We are part of the possibility of change. We are not. And we have to get this. I'm going to quote David from Brooklyn, who says it all the time. We got to get this into our head. This is a farce. And it is meant to comfort us that we are part of this. We're not part of it.
Mm-hmm. Like so, George Carlin said, he said, you're not part of the club, is the way he put it, the late comedian.
Frankly, this should not concern us because we are not part of it. Let them go fix their president, get a new president, do whatever they want to do. But we have been told in so many ways, you are not part of this. We let you know what you need to be concerned about when we are done. You're not part of this. So why, that's my question. Why are we so tied up in knots about it? The things that they're doing, when whatever it is they're doing it with the consciousness that a whole millions of people are not to be part of this. This is their thing, they're handling it. Well, we've come to the end of our program today. Thank you for listening. I wanted to say certain things about it because it was heavy on my heart. But tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, and the rules are off. You say what you want to say, which is typically the case on this program, and we get back to our business. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Girl, my treating is so bad. Well, you know I'm